That okay?
There he
is. Woo! Kind of loud, isn't it? I'm having problems standing in one place for a long time, and we don't want that to happen. So from here up, I'm okay. From here down, I don't know. In the scripture reading that was read just a few moments ago, Moses wanted to see the face of God. He wanted to be sure that God was there. He wanted to be sure that God was with him. God assured Moses, "I will be with you. I will watch over you. I'll lead you." Moses' response was, "If you don't, I don't think we can go." We need to know that God is around. We need to know that he is there. A number of years ago, a man by the name of Richard Harding wrote a book. It was one of those troublesome times in America. The title of his book was, "Where in the World is God?" Perhaps in your life, in something that's happened to you, you've asked the question. We're almost afraid to ask the question. It seems so sacrilegious. And yet it's there in the back of our minds when things don't work out for us, when something happens. Where in the world is God? There is, among the 12 minor prophets, one that stands out. He stands out simply because he doesn't prophesy to anybody. He carries on a conversation with God. And when we read the very first few lines of Habakkuk, we will discover that his sentiments are much like ours. And so I'd like for you to turn to the little minor prophet of Habakkuk. It's only three chapters long, but it has a message that I believe is so relevant to our day, to many of our lives. And Habakkuk will be a changed man when the three chapters are over. Read with me from Habakkuk chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. And reading down through verse 5. The oracles which Habakkuk the prophet saw. "How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence, and before me strife exists. Contention arises, therefore the law is ignored. Justice is never upheld. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice comes out perverted." There are many eras of our history, in our country, in our world, where those words would be as relevant as they were when Habakkuk took a look around at his situation. And yet, surprisingly, and most importantly, for Habakkuk and for us, God will answer. And it must have shocked Habakkuk when God responded, because he didn't respond in perhaps the way that Habakkuk would have expected. But this is what he says. Read with me verse 5. "Look among the nations. Observe. Be astonished. Wonder. Because I'm doing something in your day you would not believe if I told you." I want you to note the words at the beginning of verse 5. Look, observe, be astonished, wonder. Look around, Habakkuk. What are you supposed to see? What is there out there that would help me understand where God is at? Habakkuk will look, but he will not see what God wants him to see. Again, if you come down to the middle part, I'm doing something. I'm working. I'm doing something. I'm not inactive. I'm not asleep. And if you look at verse 6, "Behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth, to seize dwelling places which are not there." And we'll discover that Habakkuk doesn't want it that way. God does not explain to Habakkuk why he's going to do what he's going to do. That's not in the cards. That's not the way God works. But he wants Habakkuk to know that he's not asleep. He's not indifferent about what's going on. I am working. Take those words into our 21st century. Do we think God is asleep? Is he gone someplace and doesn't know? Is he on vacation? Habakkuk's response from God is, I am working. And then comes this most fateful statement, this most disastrous from human side. You wouldn't believe if I told you. How significant are those words? How accurate are those words? If God were to tell us what he's doing in our lives, what doors he's opening, what doors he's closing, would we pay attention? Would we believe him? For Habakkuk, God says, you wouldn't. You wouldn't believe if I told you what I'm doing. You know, the problem with knowing where God's at and why he's not involved more is an ongoing problem. Think back with me for a moment to Lot. We know the story of Lot. He's at Sodom and Gomorrah living. But we don't realize what is said in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8. Lot is called a righteous man who is vexed in his soul about what he sees around him. He would shake hands with Habakkuk. Again, Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah is fleeing from Jezebel. And he says, I'm the only one left. I've been zealous for you, God, and I'm the only one left. To which God responds, I have 7,000 who have not bowed the knee. And Habakkuk must wonder, where are they? Where are the 7,000 that could comfort me and encourage me? I don't see them. But God knew they were there. God saw them. God knew they were there. You come to Jeremiah 12. Jeremiah writes much like Habakkuk does. He writes of what he sees around him. It's no wonder he's called the weeping prophet, because what he sees around him is God is asleep. God is not working. He's not aware. But God reassures Elijah, or Jeremiah, and then one more. What about Jesus? Were there occasions when Jesus felt that God wasn't aware of what was going on? At the close of his life, when he comes into Jerusalem, Luke 19, verse 41, Jesus weeps over what he sees in Jerusalem. On the cross, the tragic words, my God, why have you forsaken me? But you and I know God had not forsaken him. God's not in the business of forsaking. God is in the business of working. And so when we look at Habakkuk's complaint, and then God's response, there is the first lesson for us. What we see visibly around us does not have anything to do with whether God is working or not working, whether he's aware of what is going on or he's not. When we turn the page, and we come over to chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. We discover that Habakkuk has another problem. And I suppose the problem would be ours. God has told him, you won't believe if I tell you. Listen to Habakkuk now verse 12 and 13. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil. You cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously, meaning the Babylonians? Why are you silent when the wicked swallows up those more righteous than they? Why have you made men like fish of the sea? He doesn't agree with what God has planned. Interesting, God's not going to change his plans. I remember years ago when I was preaching in Dos Palos, California, a little place in the San Joaquin Valley. It's a farming community. Two farmers came out about back to back, and as they came by, I said, well, how are things going? The first farmer said, well, we need rain desperately. If we don't get some rain pretty soon, we're going to have problems. Well, I told him I hoped it rained on him. Next fella came along, and by the way, he was a brother. He came along, and I said, well, how are things doing? And he said, boy, I hope the rains hold off, because if it rains, we're in serious trouble. And I've often thought of that little story. What's God going to do for those two farmers? He's got a problem. They've got a problem. Thankfully, God doesn't ask us what we want. He goes ahead and does what he will do. And so we look at Habakkuk's response, and he's really not very well taken with God's comments. And it's absolutely right on target. You wouldn't believe if I told you. And there we are, a second lesson. If God were to tell us why things are like they are, why things have happened in our lives, we wouldn't believe it. We wouldn't believe his solutions. We wouldn't believe that he is wide awake. And then Habakkuk. And I see a pride in Habakkuk when you come down to chapter 2 and verse 1. Habakkuk says, I will stand on my guard post, and I'll station myself on the rampart, and I'll keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. So he's ready. He's got an argument. He knows he's going to be reproved, but he'll have an answer. He's ready to argue. And then God says in verse 2, the Lord answered and said to me, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, that the one may read it when he runs. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It happens toward the goal. It will not fail. Now, is that really what Habakkuk wanted to hear? He was ready to argue that God's plan was not what would work. And God responds, you write it in big letters so everybody can read it when they run by, because it's going to happen. I can't help it that you don't agree. It's going to happen. My goal is going to happen. And the rest of verse 3, though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. If you were one that were to argue with God about what's going on in your life, what would you think? If God said, responded to you, never mind, I'm going to do what I think is best. Well, you have to accept God. You have to accept his ways. Apparently, that's what Habakkuk had to do. And then God responds once more in verse 4. Behold, as for the proud. Is Habakkuk the proud? I think he may be, because he's standing on his rampart. He's ready to respond. He'll argue. Perhaps he's the one who is proud. And then God responds, his soul is not right within him. But the righteous will live by faith. And when you look at that statement, it's not an answer as to how things work. It's not an answer that explains why things happen. But it is God's answer. The righteous will live by faith. That's faith that God knows what's going on. And to prove his point, when you come down the rest, you come to verse 6 in the middle part, woe to him. Woe to him who increases what is not his own. You come to verse 9. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house. You come to verse 12. Woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed. You come to verse 15. Woe to him who makes the neighbor drink. You come to verse 19. Woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake, to a mute stone, arise, it's your teacher. Does God know what's going on? He knows what's going on. And those five woes say, Habakkuk, I know what's going on. Will I stop it? No, but woe to the one who does it. Woe to the one who does it. And so Habakkuk is going to make a shift now. And it's a vital shift. And there is an answer here that every single one of us needs to know about, take advantage of. And the more years you've learned, the easier it is to take advantage of this solution. If you look at verse 20 of chapter 2, this is what Habakkuk will say. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. And if he includes himself in that, it's time for me to be silent. It's time for me to accept what God is going to do. And then we come down to chapter 3. And finally, we have Habakkuk as he determines God is not asleep. And that stinging statement, you wouldn't believe if I told you. And then that statement, the righteous are going to live by faith. And you can almost see in the parentheses, are you one of those, Habakkuk? Are you one of those who are going to live by faith? But come now with me to chapter 3. And look at verses 1 and 2. After he has said, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let's all be silent. He says this, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, according to Shiganeth. Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, I want you to pause a minute with me. Go back to the first few verses of Habakkuk chapter 1. Does that sound like a humble individual? Or an aggravated, frustrated, almost angry individual? What's going on around him? What he sees? What he has to live with? And then you come over to chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm standing on my rampart, waiting to see what you have an answer for. And then I'll respond. And then I want you to take those two and come down to chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. And you see any change? You see any change in Habakkuk? I do. I see the humbling of Habakkuk. And especially in verse 2. Lord, I've heard the report about you, and I fear. Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. in wrath, remember mercy. But he's not done. Then come down to verses 3 and 4. God comes from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covers the heavens. The earth is full of his praise. His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand. There is the hiding of his power. Habakkuk is a humble man. And all of a sudden, for some reason or not, he sees God in a completely different light. This is not the God that is asleep at the switch. This is not the God to argue with. This is the God that shines in all his glory. And Habakkuk sees him all around. And all he can say is, God, in your wrath, remember mercy. And that leads us to something else. If you were to read from verse 5 through 15, you'd discover this. That God, Habakkuk looks back at God. And I say looks back because that's exactly what he does. He looks back at the past. He's not too sure about the future. The present troubles him. But he looks back. And from verse 5 through 15, Habakkuk looks back at what God has done. He's absolutely sure that God has worked among nations. He's absolutely sure that God has been involved in some of the positives for the children of Israel, for himself. One verse will suffice. Verse 12, in indignation, you marched through the earth. In anger, you trampled nations. For you went forth for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You struck the head of the house of evil to lay him open thigh to thigh. The words, you went, the words, you struck, the words, you laid him open, all in the past tense. Habakkuk looks back. And the older we get, the better we are prepared to look back and to see that God has not been asleep, that God is not inactive, that he does care about what's going on. But we have to allow him to work in his own ways. As God said to Habakkuk, the righteous will live by faith. But part of that faith is God is not asleep. God is working. God is active. And then we come to the most significant part of Habakkuk. And if you don't remember any other place in Scripture in Habakkuk, mark this place. You will need it in your life, I can almost guarantee. Come with me to verse 16 of Habakkuk, chapter 3. And think of the man who complained in chapter 1. Think of the man who stood on his ramparts ready to argue in chapter 2. And now listen to this man. I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound of my lips quivered. Decay entered my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade us. I must wait quietly. And so you and I, if there are things amiss, things going on, we must wait quietly. Absolutely believing that God is at work. But he's not done yet. This is so important. Though the fig tree should not blossom, there be no fruit on the vine, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fruits of the fields produce no food, though the flock be cut off from the field, and there be no cattle in the stall, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I'll rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk in high places. If things aren't growing, if there's no food for the cattle, the fields are not producing, what is the condition? Is it enough to lose faith? No. Bach says, my faith is solid. My faith is solid. In our study in Colossians in the class this morning, I wish more of you were in the class, because there are some things in the book of Colossians that could be helpful in your life. But the Apostle Paul directs the Colossians. He says, I want to know about the stability of your faith in Christ. The stability of your faith in Christ. I think we can leave Habakkuk stable in his faith in Christ. Never mind the complaints of chapter 1. Never mind the boastful, I'm standing on my right, my ramparts, ready to argue with you. No. I'm going to wait quietly while you work out your business. And it doesn't matter if things are rough or smooth. You'll be there, and I'll be there. Faith is a wonderful thing. Don't count it short. It's not just knowing a series of facts about the church, about your salvation. Far deeper than that. Faith is what carries you over the rough places. It's so tragic that when things come like they did to Habakkuk and he looks around and he's just frustrated and aggravated, that he's tempted to lean on himself and not on God. But Habakkuk wakes up and he'll patiently wait, because he and God are not going to change places. God will be there for him. And he will be strong, because after all, the righteous do live by faith. Not by having all the answers, not understanding everything, but simply trusting God that it'll work out. If you look back at the history of our world, just in the short time that you've lived, have there not been occasions in your life when you thought disaster was knocking on the door and you came through it? Do you ever give God credit? I know he works behind the scenes. Just as surely as Moses said, if you don't go with me, we're not going. So you and I have to have faith that God is going with us. If you're here this morning, I hope the book of Habakkuk reigns true in your life. Perhaps you've gone with more questions than answers. And yet the reality is that when we look back, as Habakkuk looked back, we can see. We can see things that are our part in making our lives improve. And so look back. We sing a song that's my favorite, Count Your Blessings. You know, most of those blessings have come along through our lives. It's a great song, Count Your Many Blessings. If you're here this morning, never obeyed the gospel of Christ, start this morning. You'll be a better off, more ready to meet the difficulties of life with Christ on your side than without him. There's some way we can help you in our prayers. Would you come? Will you make it known through the cards or by your presence? Would you come? Will we stand and sing?